I came out like this, you know, like I came out the gate, you know, just like, yes, you know. So my parents had no doubt in their mind. They just need to support what is in her. God put this in her.
How'd you come out again?
Yes. You know, I came out showtime at the Apollo. Like I was turned up straight out. May 6th.
You guessed it. Brisha Webb is on the podcast. I'm going to pay some bills and we'll be right back.
Carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest, greatest in sports and entertainment, can make it work. In a world where vulnerable considered weak, come and remove the veil from entertainment's elite. It's the difference between what is real and what the public sees. So here's your favorite celebrities behind the scenes. It's refreshing, authentic, the whole story, specific. Life-altering events that shape the person that you hear. We got a champion and carry champion. Hey girl, you did it. It's the greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion. Hey girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us.
Hey, everybody, welcome to a new edition of Naked. Oh, we doing the damn thing. I'm excited. Last week, Jalen Rose, he was very naked. I think people are getting the idea that I want you to come here and play and be ready to play. You know what I mean? Tell your truth or don't tell your truth, but I'm here for it all. Today, though, Brisha Renee Webb. I don't think I should have given out her government name, but I mean, it's here. It's available. Brisha Webb, American actress. You all may remember her from the TV1 comedy series Love That Girl. She's been in Meet the Blacks, Acrimony, Sextuplets, A Fall from Grace. She is an excellent actress. And what's interesting to me about her is that I asked her, has she always been so funny? Because prepare yourself. This podcast is going to make you laugh. How long have you been so funny? And she said when she moved to LA from Baltimore, and she's going to let you know right away she's from Baltimore, she was quickly able to find a community that encouraged her to pursue the comedic acting. And I'm glad they did. She references how Jamie Foxx is a mentor to her. I mean, who don't do it better than Jamie? He can sing, he can act, he's funny, he can do drama. It's always beautiful to see talent. We throw that word around a lot. That word talent is given to a lot of people. But when you start breaking down what it means to be a true talent, very few have the layers and the depth and the range. And I believe Brisha Webb has all of those things. So I need you all to sit back and relax, introduce yourselves to one Brisha Webb, and you know who she is. You will be able to immediately fall in love with her infectious personality. But most importantly, she is real. Authenticity in Hollywood, not so common. So everybody, relax, enjoy, take off your shoes, maybe your shirt, maybe your bra. Brisha Webb is on Naked. So Brisha, I have a couple of questions. You are welcome to Naked, first off. Thank you for doing this. And
thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. I really do mean that. One of the first questions I wanted to ask you, as you are representing, show me that shirt. What does the shirt say? Y'all can't see it, but I can.
She from Baltimore. She from Baltimore. Yeah.
Okay.
Black women. Black owned.
Hey. Talk to me about being from Baltimore. I have my own perception because I know a few people from Baltimore, but you guys have a special je ne sais quoi. Being born and raised in Baltimore created Brisha Webb to do what? To exist as what?
As a winner. I mean, if you get out of Baltimore alive, like, not to say alive, it's like that, but if you can be able to, you know, stay on your path and your goal at hand, you're already winning, you know? So, you know, Baltimore breeds people that make a straight line to where they want to go in success. You know, we got Monique, we got Jada Pinkett Smith, we got so many amazing people that have come out of Baltimore City that have done well for themselves and have represented Baltimore, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just one of those people. We don't want to go back home, but we go home to give. Okay. We will give, but you know, I got here you know, for a reason. So.
So it's interesting because everyone I've met from Baltimore has a truly authentic spirit. And what I mean by that is that, like, I'm not hurting your feelings. This is what I feel. This is what it is. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. How do you feel when people may not understand that sensibility you have? Like, do you find it being cumbersome being so Baltimore, so authentic, so true to who you are when people don't normally operate that way?
I mean, people real recognize it's real. You know, like, I've seen a lot of stuff just being from Baltimore. You know, you've seen the hardships of life. You've seen good. You've seen all kinds of things. I've been surrounded around the arts. But, you know, pure-hearted people find pure-hearted people. So I don't even look at all of that. If you don't get me, then something is wrong with you because I'm pretty easy to get along with. But I mean, I just stay authentically myself. And I think authenticity finds other people with authenticity. And that's what I feel a lot of people from Baltimore and just East Coast on its own. We're real, we're grounded. And there's people in LA that are real and grounded as well, anywhere you go.
What do you think about the idea that if you live in LA, you're, you know, everyone.
Look at my daddy calling me. Let me go back.
Okay.
I don't understand. My daddy is calling me. He's still in Baltimore, praise God.
What do you think about people who, because when you come to LA and you live here, people think there's an automatic or a cynicism or a fakeness about you because you're in the world and you are doing the damn thing, you're acting. How do you respond to people back home who may feel like you've quote unquote changed or they think you're different? Do you ever get those kind of criticisms with the success you've been able to have?
Of course. And yes, I've changed. My money has changed. A lot has changed. My hair has changed. My approach to everything has changed. I love that I am changed from where I was in Baltimore City to LA. That's what I came here to do. But, you know, all in all, like, I feel like it gets a bad, you know, rap and it gets a bad connotation because, like, people don't want to see you win. You know, crabs in a barrel are real, you know, and just because they can't congratulate you for your growth, they have to say that you've changed and something is wrong with you. No, I have changed for the better. I'm doing swell, honey.
I am proudly changing. Thank you.
Yes, I have changed. Because you have changed because I have changed. You know, I've changed and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I have people that come in my life and say, you know, you are so different than where you were. Yes, I'm different from where I was. Like, of course, aren't you? 10-year challenge. Are you still the same way you were 10 years ago? Because if so, something needs to change.
And if, yeah, because it's no fun.
It's no fun.
When growing up, how did you know that you had what you have right now? 2 seconds into talking to you, your stardom, your personality jumps off the screen. When did you realize that was something that you would have to pursue?
I came out like this, you know, like I came out the gate, you know, just like, yes, you know, so my parents had no doubt in their mind. They just need to support what is in her. God put this
in
her.
How'd you come out again?
Yes. You know, I came out so time. At the Apollo, like I was turned up straight out May 6th. Okay, I was out the gate. Surprise. Let's put on a show. So, you know, when I was 4, I was like, I want to be inside the TV. I would get dressed up to watch TV because I thought eventually the camera was going to come on me. Like I was ready, you know, so they just had to catch up. And then I started doing regional theater. And then when I saw you could get a coin. You can get a coin for doing what I do on the normal at home?
Yes, I've changed.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I've changed.
Yes, I've changed. Yes. Yes, I've changed, honey. And I will keep evolving. Okay? Yes, I've always
loved it. I love it. Yes. So when you
always been most.
Which is amazing. And I love it. And yes. I approve of it. And I accept it. And I only want that in my life. I think that I read, and I know you've been asked this question a few times about, you know, the role models that you saw growing up, like Angela Bassett and Will Smith. And while that question has probably been asked to you over and over again, what were the TV shows? What were the images that made you say, this is a positive Black experience that I want to partake in?
I mean, one that was like really changed the trajectory and made me realize that I could actually do this was like Best Man. I saw Best Man as a teenager and was like, they're so beautiful. They're so eloquent and just, they're busting. I know these people. I want to be these people when I grow up, you know, just to see such beautiful women and men, you know, and living well on screen. I just was like, I got to do it, you know, and seeing Taraji and knowing that she came from DC and seeing Baby Boy and seeing movies like that. Like, you know, of course I grew up watching Color Purple and watching like all of these amazing iconic films, you know, Tina Turner, like all of that. I love those kind of movies. But when it was becoming closer and I started seeing people that actually looked like me and they were on the screen doing scenes that I could see myself older doing, you know, Love and Basketball, like those type of movies really just made me become quite obsessed with becoming those women and those men. And I started putting those pictures and manifesting who I wanted to work with and taking pictures out of Ebony and Essence and Jet and putting them over my bed and praying over it and being like, God, if I just had the chance to work with these people. And, you know, it's an amazing experience to like, meet these people and work with them and we're friends. And I'm like, it happens. It's happening. You know,
who did you put on the wall and pray over and manifest for as situations that you have worked with currently or in the past?
Oh yes. Well, Angela Bassett for one, she was always on my vision board of like, she's so talented and gorgeous and just Black excellence. And so I had the opportunity to meet her and work with her on ER, and they pretty much just kept me along. Yeah. I was just a guest star recurring, and they kept me along for extra seasons just to see me lose my shit.
I was gonna say, how nerve-wracking is that? Like, okay, so this is my only experience. Back in the day, they would be like, do you want to play a reporter? Myself. I can go in there and and play myself. That's easy, right? And then they would be like, hey, do you want to be an actress? I'm like, oh no, I don't respect the craft enough to even pretend to do it. So because I have so much respect for what you do, because it is hard. And I remember a director wanted me to be an actress and I was acting like a reporter, like a straight up reporter. That's all I know. And when I tell you, he was so mad at me and people were looking at me and the set got quiet and they were just like, oh, she's like, you're f***ing up. Excuse my French. You're f***ing up.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I was like, I couldn't imagine if somebody like Angela Bassett or a Denzel or a Will Smith was in front of me. I would be mortified. How do you swallow whatever that fear and anxiety may be and step up to the plate when you finally get to
prayer.
Work with this person? Amen.
A lot of prayer. In love with.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, because I used to have celebrity Tourette's. I would just go crazy. Like, I would be like, like lose my shit. And it was bad. Like, I was awful at events. Like, I love people and I love people that, you know, that I admire and look up to. And I mean, just the whole thing, like going in a corner and just,
You would just go nuts, like you lose your mind. You cry, you scream.
Now I've learned to like, we all shouldn't piss the same. But when I was first starting out, like you gotta act right. You gotta act like you're supposed to be in the room. But like, honey, I was like, oh my goodness. Like when they said that Angela Bassett was going to be coming and working on the second, you know, on the next season of VR, I like threw myself up against the wall and I was like, like the producers were like, oh, we have to actually, we're going to write Brisha. And I had no idea, but they were like, you're going to keep Dr. Laverne St. John in this season because we want to see this up close.
Uh-huh.
And I kept my stuff together, but they, you know, she was so sweet and we became friends and then that all went away and it was just like, you're Angela Bassett and she's so amazing and dope, but I still lose my shit inside. I'm like,
There is a group of people, and I've been talking about this for a lot of times, that don't get to see some of the Black images that we saw growing up, right? That really changed. You said Love and Basketball. I mean, that was it. Like,
that was it.
Baby Boy, Boys in the Hood for me changed everything for me. What did that do in terms of inspiring you? What do you think those images present? I would love a modern day Love and Basketball story right now. I would love to see that movie redone with you. I would love to see that TV show with you. It was just pure young Black love, but it was to me just a story. It didn't have anything to do with being Black. It did, but it was just a love story.
It's just a love story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I mean, I really want to keep Love and Basketball in its time capsule of Love and Basketball. I feel like we have so many amazing stories right now to tell that are about this generation, that are things that you and I go through in dating. Like, I'm more interested in telling those stories because that story was so, it was so beautiful to tell about Black love in that time. Like, how does that transfer into social media in this time and
how?
Texting? And
that's great.
You know, like, it taught you so much about, like, how to, you know, how a man should court you or how a man should let you out wearing the short dresses and, oh, you got to cross your legs. Like, all that stuff that was, like, so cute that they pointed out. I want to see that now. I want to see those. I want to lift up the filmmakers now and hear their ideas, because that's the only way we're going to move forward and inspire going forward.
I didn't really delve into how you're raised, and I normally do that because it speaks to me personally when I'm able to talk to people about their values and their core. What were some core values that you had growing up that you still believe you have in a business that doesn't respect core values?
I mean, my faith is very important to me. You know, like, that's what I lead with. That's what I am. I try my best to just live a very, you know, have faith in myself, have faith in God, and lead with that as much as possible on a day-to-day basis. And that was very important. And how I was raised in my family, you know, we were raised in church, and that's where a lot of my gifts were able to be exercised, dancing and singing and acting and confidence. You know, all of that was built in the church for my upbringing. So that's one thing that I still hold close to me and my culture. And just being authentic to who I am and where I come from. Mm-hmm. I grow every day. I learn every day. And I want to be able to be authentic enough to share what I go through and to help someone that needs uplifting in any way. Like, it's all service to me, you know? So I just take that.
So I have a friend who works in, you know, as an actor, and he goes, "Look, I love the Lord, but I do cuss a little." You ever find yourself you want to call on the holy name? I know
every
in life.
Day.
I know in life, but I'm talking about when you're in a workspace and you want to be kind to people and you want to be easy to people. Is there a time in which you have to be like, "Look, I do love the Lord, but I cuss a little"? Director, get out of my way. Or co-lead, I don't want to have to stab you in the eyeballs.
Well, I haven't had that situation yet. Praise God. Where I'm like, "Oh, my, you know, I had that." Praise God. Lord knows how and where to put me, because I am a little touched. My fiance knows that. So, you know, God is still working on me in that area. just to keep it real.
You gonna
but yes, I turn. Look, I have a song that I recorded for my one woman show. I do stand up. You know, when the life of the world was open and it was safe, I would do a one woman show, and it was, you know, about myself. And I had a song called "Think From Your Heart and Not Your Pussy." You know, and it's a revolutionary song. And
tell me more about said song, "Sing From Your Heart and Not Your Pussy."
Oh, the music video is on YouTube.
I got it. Okay, and, how did I miss that?
Oh, yes, it's wonderful. It's really where I was in my life of being done with broke niggas.
Wait, is this when, okay, help me, I'm not confusing this. Wait, when you went on the online date, was this before or after?
This was before. I do a whole show called this, what is my show, Jesus? This My Show. I do a show called This My Show, and I talk about my life coming from Baltimore all the way to LA and my experience. And I do all these characters and everything. It's a very fun show, very cabaret. I have a band and the whole thing. So I closed the show with the song called Think From Your Heart. And it came to me, you know, from a sermon at church.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the pastor was like, listen, a lot of you women out here are doing things that you shouldn't be doing, but sometimes you got to think from your heart and not from other areas. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's time for him to exit, you have to allow him to exit and get out of your situationship to allow the new in. And I said, you know what? That's a word. Uh-huh. That's a word. Uh-huh. I'm not letting God do what he needs to do for me. That's in that area. I'm directing and dictating what I want and what I need.
Yeah.
So I need to think from my heart and not my pussy. And that is where the song came from. And it's revolutionary.
And the choir say amen.
Yes. I feel like, especially in these times when we might go into quarantine, you got to cut them off.
Okay, guys, it's about that time. The only way we can actually pay for the editing of the show and the music, because the music is bumping. We got to go to commercial break. On the other side, Bresha Webb.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion. That girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with.
That was my favorite commercial. Not really. We're picking it up with Bresha Webb. She's dropping some gems. I appreciate you for being here, young lady.
So how'd you meet your fiance? Was it the shift from not thinking from said vagina and into your heart?
Yes. Absolutely. It really was. It's wonderful how God combines the two.
Amen. Was it ordained? Was it like a special moment? You just looked up and was like, oh, I think I love this guy.
No, it was instant. It's really ridiculous how it happened. I met him 7 years prior at a comedy show. Uh-huh. And I always said that I wanted to meet my husband at a comedy show so he can see me in my muchness.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to apologize for my a lot.
You should not.
I'm loud. I'm exuberant. I'm all of these things. I curse. I praise the Lord. The uh-huh. Father is still working with me in that area. But, you know, I have a good time. And so he saw me with my friends and we hung out and that was it. And then Lonnie Love contacted me on DM. And was like, hey, I have a friend that's interested in you. Would you be down for talking to him? And I was in quarantine in Canada about to do a movie, one of the Mary Littles. I think it was Mary Little Wedding. Mm-hmm. And I was in quarantine for 14 days. We started talking and I went in single and came out with a boyfriend.
Hey. And then a fiance.
Yeah, I pretty much. Yeah, and then a fiance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how it happened. And I literally, before I went into quarantine, was like, you know what, God, I'm tired. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm tired.
When you say you're not doing this, what is this?
This is trying to dictate what is going on. Like, what is going on? I'm on the app. I'm out here. I'm dressing up, going to the clubs, getting the wrong energy. You know what I'm saying? And it was just exhausting. I was like, you know what? If it ain't from you, I'll want it.
Mm-hmm. And here it came. Amen.
Here it came. I didn't even have to do anything. I mean, it doesn't happen for everybody, but that's how it happened for me.
I agree in the not forcing it, letting it be what it is. I agree with the not forcing it. Do you have that same approach to your career?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I don't want anything that's not for me. you know. So
how do you talk to yourself when you're like, that could have been mine, or I'm better than that, or I should do this, or I want to do that, or what happened with that, or why didn't I get that role? How do you talk to yourself through disappointment? Because acting and being in this business is a lot of no's, and there is a mask that we wear sometimes, but there's also this shield of, I have to pick myself up, because I know, and it for you, I know it obviously is rooted in Christ, but how do you talk to yourself when you're in that fleshly mode and you mad about something?
Oh yeah. I give myself that time to be upset and to be frustrated about where I am. But I also have to remember where I've been. And I have to be at one with myself and know that where I've come from and how I've gotten there. And it's a different way than some people, but I'm grateful for every job, every gig, every step, every learning curve. And when I get in, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do that. I am always blown away at what comes when I don't do anything. Like, I'm always blown away at when I say something that I want to do and I just let it go. And then it comes naturally to me. And I'm like, God, you did hear me. You did hear what I want. I'm working in this area trying to make things happen. And as soon as I let it go, what is supposed to be for me is me. And it goes super easy. Yes. It's super effortlessly.
That's real.
I just have to trust that. You know, I have to go off of what he's already done. Yeah. And that, you know, it gives me a moment to just be like, you know what? I need to be doing this. I need to be doing that. And then I'm like, but I didn't do all of that for this. And that was a humongous opportunity. That was just a call.
Yeah. Hey, what you doing? So, you feel like it? Yeah. It's yours.
Yeah. Exactly. The doors are already there.
Yeah.
You just have to wait until the elevator gets up to that floor, honey. So, you know, that's how I operate. And it takes a lot of the pressure off. And it's been working very well for me. And especially because I'm ready. A lot of people are expecting doors to be open that they're not ready to even have open.
Okay. So let's
do the work.
Yeah. I was going to say, let's talk about that, because there is, I believe in not forcing anything, but that comes with wisdom. That comes with maybe age. It comes with being able to look back and say, I didn't force that. It came to me. If that's not a word, if that is not a word, like, you can't force anything, because whatever you force, it will never, ever work out the way that you want it to be. And it's a struggle to keep it there. And it may yield rewards, but you do get tired of forcing whatever it may be. I have posted about that. But you said that you have to be prepared. What does preparation look like for you?
You know what? Just always staying ready. Always staying ready. Always. What I do for me is just always having conversations that elevate me and listening and also stretching myself. Mm-hmm. Like this year, I directed last year, and that was something that I never really imagined myself. I mean, my fiance, I was like, you know, you should direct. And I cussed him out. I was like, how dare you? You know, I'm an actress. I don't want to do all of that. La, 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 la. And sure enough, I thought about it and I said, you know what? That would be cool. I just don't have faith that I would excel in that area. That's what I said honestly to myself. I was scared. And when the opportunity came, I surprised myself and fell in love with it and was so surprised at how everything that I had learned from being an actress and being a people person and how to, you know, express everything about what I wanted. I learned so much from it. Just saying what I want and meaning what I say and just holding my ground to that, it taught me so much about myself and what I want to do going forward. Like, I know what I want. I have to trust that. You know, if I want the set to look like this, I have to trust that, because when it comes together, it's like, damn, Brisha, you was right. You know, I know who I want to cast. Like, I see it. I can do it. You know, so it was a lesson in that. But I prepare myself by, you know, manifesting things that I'm scared of and then doing the thing.
So you are like, okay, that scares me, so I should do that. Like,
I should run to it. I ran to it. Stand up. I was like, oh my God, I could never do that. I could never do this. And then I get a job and they're like, oh, you have to do stand up.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do I do that? Oh my God. And then someone says, oh, there's this class called Pretty Funny Women and you could take this class and it's like a 6-week course. And at the end, you have a show. And it was an introduction into comedy. And I did it with two of my other girlfriends. And we all still do it. I met so many. It opened up so many doors for me. I met Tiffany Haddish doing stand-up, Kevin Hart, Mike Epps, everyone who I have worked with, I met doing stand-up comedy. So I could have never, you know, I was drama. So I had no idea that I was going to go into that direction that now people mainly see me as a comedic actress. I was completely terrified of going on stage and doing stuff like that. I was like, how could you write a set? Oh my God. Then I write my own show. And then, you know, it just goes and goes and goes. And now I'm writing my own show. And, you know, it goes hand in hand. So you just have to trust the process and run towards your fears. Like, seriously.
Two gems. One, definitely run towards your fears. I'm with you on that. And don't force it. I'm going to run towards it. I'm going to learn about it. I'm going to be prepared. But when it comes, I'm going to be ready.
Like, you'll be ready.
I was listening to a TED Talk from Stacey Abrams today, and she said, whatever it is that is in your spirit, and you sound like you have this, it's, you can't sleep at night, you think about it, you want it, you're burning to do it. That's your passion for what you do, right, as an actress. And you're like, I have ideas, you wake up in the middle of the night, I want to do this, or you're hungry about stuff, or you see something you just really want to change, or at least be a part of in some way to be documented in history as one of the, or perhaps some of the, or this movement. And I see that as these, so many actresses such as yourself come up, and the range is spectacular. And oftentimes we don't get to see you all do the range. Like, you said it came in with drama, but people think you're just a comedic actor. You can do it all. How scary is that? Knowing that I could be on some Meryl Streep shit. You know what I mean? Or I could be on my, more apropos, I fuck with Meryl, excuse my French. That's my dog. Or I could be on my Viola. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The range. And I don't get to see Viola even do too much comedy. And I know she has probably that range too, right? Mm-hmm. How scary is that to know that you could just take over? The fear of being the greatest.
Oh, it is. It's crazy. And I look up to so many people that have that I don't give a fuck type of personality.
I want that.
Yeah, I want that. And, you know, it's like, even though I don't walk around, you know, with, I don't give a fuck, you know, you know, it's like, it's amazing that I've been given the opportunity to do projects that do exercise me in those ways, and that I'm able to show the other gear in me, you know, like I just did Amazing Grace, you know, for OWN, and that was great. And people hadn't seen me in that type of way. And so I was really grateful to be able to do that. And then I did A Fall from Grace, and then people didn't put two and two together that I was the same girl from Love That Girl and Marlon show that was doing that. And I was like, I love that, because when I was growing up, those are the actors that I really wanted to be like. I wanted to be like Jamie Foxx. That's why he's my mentor and close friend. Like, I look.
He
up
can
to
do
him.
It I, all.
It all the impersonations. I do impersonations. That's why I'm going back to do Sherman Showcase. You know, and people had to put together like the same girl that did the amazing Mary J. Blige Happy Birthday the impersonation and does Tiny and does all of that is the same girl that does all of this other stuff. You know, it's just like definitely just opening yourself up to that and doing as much as possible to show people that you're not what they think they are. And I actually have such an amazing time doing that. I love surprising people. I love people to just not know what I'm up to.
Yeah, because it's a level, people always want to put you in a box. It helps you understand people. In our simple minds, you want to label you because it helps us feel like we know how to interact with you. And then when you do different and you come different and you perform differently, it really makes it hard to pigeonhole you, which is a beautiful enigma that I prefer in our business because they don't get to have it. You talked about your directorial debut and Take the Job, hashtag Take the Job. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. And you talked about how it was something your fiance had mentioned to you, and you're like, yeah, and then you did it and you're like, I love it. I'm in love with the process. I want to talk about being in love with Run the World, the show on Stars, renewed for a second season.
Thank you.
Okay. and stuff. So talk to me about that. First of all, this is perfect that we're talking. I'm driving here. I'm in Santa Monica and I see y'all billboard out here, your billboard over here on Santa Monica Boulevard. If I can get my words out. And I was like, hey, there you go. I'm about to talk. Okay. Appreciate it. Tell me about that experience.
It's an incredible experience to just work with Black women in front of the screen and behind the screen.
Yes.
You know, and to tell stories that I can identify to, and I know other Black women can identify, successful women. You know, like, just like I was saying, Love and Basketball,
yes,
Best Man, those movies, those type of, you know, just people and representation of successful Black people living and just being was so interesting to me. Living Single, Girlfriends, yeah. Like, yeah. All of those shows.
Girlfriends was ahead of their time, I think. Like, I love that show, but they were ahead of their time. Yeah, but the beauty of that is, and I hate to even do the comparison, but like, when I'm watching your show, I'm like, yeah, this is, we've been needing a Black Sex and the City, if you will. And I hate to even call it a Black anything, but, you know, yeah. We need a show where we see ourselves doing what we all, is not just for one group of people. It's for all people. No. Do you?
And that's what I love about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you understand the importance that you have on the culture?
I do. I know that the same influence that that generation of films had on me and television had on me growing up, I know we are doing the same thing, you know, for the new culture coming up, for women that see themselves. It's aspirational. You know, it's aspirational for me, you know, just the topics that we're talking about, quitting your job and starting your own business, you know, women, you know, thinking outside of their marriage and saying, oh my God, is this the only person I'm going to be with? Let me try something, and falling on their face, you know, and having their girlfriends pick them up. You know, it's just, it's very aspirational to just see Black women getting along and challenging each other and being there.
By the way, that's aspirational in real life too. Go ahead.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need to see that in order to be it. So I'm very proud to be a part of this show, the legacy of the show, and hopefully to inspire a woman to do the same that I'm doing on the show. Or, you know, like, I want to be like Renee. Like, me playing Renee is aspirational because I have, like, I'm not put together like Renee. Like, I try to think or act like I'm put together, but Renee is that bitch, you know? And when I clock into Renee, like, I'm like, you know, it's just like a whole new gear, you know? So I have to, you know, I'm excited to go back to season 2 and work with the team and be all glammed up and do the whole thing. And it's some really funny premises that, you know, the writers are coming up with. So we are all so excited. We're so appreciative of everyone that watches
really
the show.
I'm really happy for you. I'm really, really happy. Not proud of you.
And to that see too, a shot this way, like to see a shot like a Sex in the City.
And
where
beautiful.
We have interesting shots and crisp and beautiful lighting and beautiful sets.
Because why are all our films dingy porn looking? Let our stuff be crispy and nice. Why we got to have the dingy porn looking film? Let our Black films be crispy and nice with new innovative shots.
Period. Because we the ones going out and buying it and watching it, okay? You know, period. And we can do snarky jokes. We can do all of that stuff. And you know, it's so funny because, you know, other cultures will come up to me and they'll be like, oh my God, I love Run the World. And I was like, oh, okay.
Okay, you watching? Because we cute. I know.
Like that outfit. Oh, yes. All the side people. Yes, I love that.
What's next for you outside of what you've mentioned? What project should we be looking out for?
Well, we're going back. I just found out the date.
Yep.
So we're going back to Sex and the City, Jesus, Run the World. So we're starting back in March. I'm really excited about that.
Congratulations.
I'm going back. Thank you. I'm going back to do another season of Sherman Showcase. So
Okay.
I'm starting that.
So
I'm excited to...
The reason why I'm asking, I don't mean to cut you off. What I'm really getting at is, can I borrow $5? Because you working. Because you working.
That is good.
Yeah, you working. You got an eye rack on your finger. I want to, don't play with me. Give me $5. I'm right. I wrote that down in my question. Do you have $5 for the host of the show?
Girl, I'm trying to be like you with the skin. It's popping.
Ah, thank you.
Yes.
$2. I took $2 and invested it in my skin. That's it. I'm out of money. That's why I need five more dollars.
It is like glowing. I know Sabrina be up in that scalp. I'm like,
You work with Sabrina?
She's the best. She's such a champ. See, I mean, she's so booked and busy. I never get to have
her. Yeah, I was like, all you doing is doing one braid here and there. We can't get in here. You doing a braid here and there. You ain't got no time for us. They booked you all year to do one braid.
All year. One braid. One braid. Make it corn
for,
up in one braid.
The young lady we're talking about is Sabrina Portia. We work with her and she does our hair. Like I said, we have so many mutual folks in common. So we mad that she don't be available while she booking one braid for very rich people. So that's fine. Very if you hear this.
People. It's all right.
last but not least, I don't want to get into your business. I keep saying last but not least. I don't really want $5, but I would. I'll DM you about $5. I just want to know. I don't know if you get your flowers or if you are aware or if you even feel seen the way that you are seen. But I want you to know that your presence is refreshing and it's encouraging. And you just keep being you because it is something special and we need it. We need it for our young brown girls. I'm saying this as a woman who has a foundation and I mentor young girls. So we need to see you do what you do on such a high level and so authentically wonderful. So thank you for just being you.
Oh, thank you so much. And I seriously will come and support.
I love foundation. It. I will, girl.
I love talking to
you. They will attack you, but yes, they'll jump on you and be like, can we follow you home and have your phone number and text you every day? Like, I have a real serious question. And then when they call you, they'd be like, so what you doing?
Yeah. Okay. I was one of those girls.
Okay.
You know that I was one of those girls. Like, I would harass people that, you know, like anybody I knew that was on Broadway, in LA doing it. Shout out to Tracy Thomas, who's also from Baltimore. She would come to school to talk to us. And I would be like,
locked in.
Can we? Yeah. I told her, I was like, I'm moving to LA. Can I come over? She was like, yeah.
Sure. Security.
That's big sis. She's known me since I was four.
I love it. Well, you have that. I'm not even surprised. I see Jamie being your mentor. I can see everybody flocking to you because it's a son that you want to be around. So I appreciate sharing your son with us today on Naked. Have a wonderful day. Sorry about what happened earlier, though, girl.
Oh my God. I'm totally fine. I want to be your friend in real life.
So. Oh no, I already DM'd you. When we can go back outside, we're going outside.
In a real way. Amen. Yes. It was so lovely talking to you.
You know what I took away from this conversation? I mentioned it off the top. It's about being a true talent. Brisha said that she really wasn't interested in directing and her fiance was like, you should do it. You're going to kill it. And then she did it. And she was like, okay, thank you. Love it all. In my mind, I was proud of her for stretching. In my mind, I thought, it's hard to stretch. It's hard to get out of your comfort zone, especially in a role of being a director. Jeez, that would scare the heck out of me. But her one-woman show, also more amazing. But then she turns around and she has this other side where she's like, I'm honest. I'm going to get real excited if you roll somebody up on here that I love. If you don't give me Viola Davis, you're going to give me somebody like that. I'm going to roll up here and be real excited. You know, excellence in acting. Some Angela Bassett excellence and acting. I'm going to be excited and I'm not going to hide it. To me, that is the biggest compliment you can ever pay to a peer, to someone who inspired you, to someone who really represents what it means to be excellence. I feel that way about Oprah. What up, Opes? Invite me to the house. I want to wear a sweatsuit and watch movies with you and your lady friends and all the girls and Stedman and the dog. Side note. Sorry, guys. I digress. But the biggest compliment you can ever give someone is letting them know that they've impacted your life. And if it wasn't for them or if it wasn't for the images of them, you may not be in the space you are now. And Brisha did that in such a beautiful way by acknowledging her heroes in acting. And I really appreciate her for that. If you haven't learned anything, I'm going to tell you what you should take away. Stretch yourself. Do more. You can always do more. Thank you guys for listening. Back next week.